This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. June is LGBT Pride Month. It's a time to celebrate and an opportunity to honor those who've taken action in the past, sometimes at great personal risk, to gain recognition and rights for people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. There's been a lot of change in recent years. Same-sex marriage is now recognized in New Mexico, but young people often still face intense discrimination and challenges as they express their sexual identity. Were you bullied for being lesbian or gay when you were growing up? Have you struggled to find acceptance as a transgender person in your family or school? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, that's 877-899-5866. And if you want to share your thoughts with us by email, if that works for you, you can email callinshow@kunm.org. I have some folks with me today to get the conversation started. Amber Royster is Executive Director of Equality New Mexico. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also, Aaron Northern, co-chair of the Albuquerque chapter of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, known as GLSEN. Welcome, and Aaron.
Good morning, Sarah.
I'd like to also mention that you're a teacher in APS.
I am. I teach middle school in Albuquerque Public Schools.
Great. We also have Robin with us today, a junior at Rio Rancho High School. Welcome.
Hi.
Robin, I want to start with you. Today we're talking about young people in the LGBT community, what experiences they're having, what they need to feel supported. What's it been like for you? You're in high school now, but middle school can be a really challenging time where people are struggling with their identity, struggling to express themselves. What was it like for you?
Well, it's changed since the very beginning. Like in middle school, you know, it's kind of like a little bit tough because, you know, just getting used to like the changes from elementary and like, you know, like the different styles. But like, I don't know, it's just like it's been hard in middle school. Like, you know, Ellie didn't understand like the term gays and all that stuff. So that was new. And then really like discovering myself, who I really am inside, was challenging because, I don't know, I guess I was just ashamed who I was inside because just how negative terms, how they would use gay or just other things like that. But later on, like over the years in middle school, I'm trying to gain confidence, but it's a bit hard. But over the summers from transitioning to middle school to high school, like, you know, that little maturity level is getting a little bit higher. So, you know, just like, I don't know, I finally gained confidence about myself, and I guess just put my foot down and, you know, just decided to have, be unapologetic about myself and, you know, just stay true to myself and, you know, just try not to have people get in my way. And it's kind of helped working so far. You know, junior now, so like this is going to be my third year in high school, so it's going to be a new experience and hopefully better. It's been pretty good so far. Me as my new identity as identifying as female, and I'm really proud like how far I've gotten.
Absolutely. Who's been supporting you along the way?
Well, I've been going to a support group, and Empower. And it's a big group that I'm really grateful of, that they help me, like, you know, hang out with people that I like to, like, I don't know, just, like, people around me that are in the gay community. And my parents have been really supportive lately now. My mom's, like, is on my side. I love it. most of my family is still adjusting, but they are totally supportive, which I'm grateful of. And teachers can be very supportive, too, so I'm grateful for that, too.
Aaron, talk a little bit about that. You work with students, maybe students like Robin, who are kind of finding themselves, and you're seeing that over the course of the school year. How can teachers support young people through that process?
There are many ways teachers can support young people. I know at my middle school, I'm a safe zone representative. So I have a safe zone poster on my classroom. Many teachers do, just to indicate that it's a safe space, that I'm an adult in the school that students can come to and hopefully feel comfortable talking to. I also support and am an advisor for our school's GSA, or Gay Straight Alliance, which I think is a wonderful student-led group that engages in days of action such as National Day of Silence and No Name Calling Week and Celebrate Kindness Week. And it's a great way for the students to come together and lead their school in positive climate change for the school.
Yeah. Before we get too far into solutions, I want to acknowledge it, that a lot of people do struggle. A lot of young people may experience bullying. That's an issue that a lot of groups are working on right now in New Mexico. And we welcome anyone to call in and share their experience, even if it was negative. Growing up, what made it difficult for you to come out as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender? Did someone say something to you? Was it how they treated you? Robin mentioned people using gay in a negative way. That's an issue in many communities. Tell us about your experience. Give us a call right now at 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, 877-899-5866. Amber, you're working on this issue on safe schools, on looking at what students are experiencing. What does the research tell us right now about some of the issues that young people are going through?
Well, what we're seeing right now is that LGB, so lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth are bullied at about twice the rate of their heterosexual peers. And we're really clear about it being lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth because that's currently the group of students that we actually collect data on in the state of New Mexico. And that's actually a significant problem that we're trying to work on. We need to start collecting data that is inclusive of the transgender and gender nonconforming student experience as well. What we've found just in terms of bullying across the board, and obviously LGBT students are some of the most at-risk students in our school system, is that we have over 10,000 students missing school every month because they feel unsafe. That's a huge number. And our research last year showed that there are approximately 50,000 incidents of bullying and harassment that are taking place in New Mexico public and charter schools that are going unreported every year. And so what we're finding is that obviously there's high rates of bullying among LGB youth in New Mexico, but at the same time, there's a culture problem in the school system where it's not safe for youth to even be reporting when these incidents are happening.
Robin, what do you think about that? I mean, you're saying that I'm so glad to hear that you have confidence in yourself and you're feeling like you can speak about your experience, but not everyone can. Some of the people that you talk to, have they had a harder time with letting folks know about their identity or having some pride in that?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me personally, I had that situation. Like, it took me a while for, like, to gain confidence. Like, I really didn't, like, necessarily come out to my family, you know. I just let them find out on their own, like, which is kind of hard because, you know, I came out at school and then, like, that, like, went through my brothers and sisters by attending the same school. So they found out and then they would call me out on it in front of my parents, and then that's just how they found out. So I do understand, like, how hard it can be, and I just hopefully that people can, like, have a better coming out story and just, like, hopefully everybody, like, can, like, be on their side because it's really helpful, I guess.
Do you see bullying in your school today?
Under the download, yes. Like, you know, I don't think it's right, but it's, like, you know, it's sadly, it's everywhere, so you can't, like, really, like, stop it all. But
what does that look like?
Like, in school or
yeah,
just,
like, maybe what teachers aren't noticing, what's not obvious. What does that look like?
Well, it's just, like, it's behind the back. Like, you know, like, it's typical, like, you know, people talking about you and then just, like, either you hear about it, you just leave it alone, or, I don't know, just call it out, I guess. But, you know, I try to not to worry about it because it's not really worth it at the end.
Aaron, it seems like, you know, if teachers don't haven't been talking about these issues and they don't know what to do, and maybe they see a little bit of this, but they don't know what to do next. Is that part of the problem?
I think so. I think one of the most powerful things a teacher can do is when they do hear bullying, to stop it immediately. However, one thing that does happen in the schools is there's such a culture of silence around LGBTQ issues and language that people aren't talking about it, and therefore students feel the silence, they hear the silence, and so they learn that it's not okay to talk about, and so they're not coming to adults and asking for help, or the bullying is happening, like Robin said, kind of on the down low or behind people's backs and in gossip and in conversation. And now with, like, social media, that could be very traumatic to any student who has come out if someone decides to take that to social media and turn it into a bullying incident. But I think for schools, we have to change the culture of silence around LGBTQ issues.
You know, in the workplace, we don't talk about sexuality. I mean, there are laws and rules about that. Are there rules about what teachers can talk with students about when it comes to sexuality?
I think there are rules that you can't teach one thing over another, certainly. So similar to holidays. So I know there's a lot of protocol around holidays in the schools and that you can't promote or teach one thing over another. So, but you can teach equally about all things. So I think the most important thing is that we're using language in a positive and normalizing way rather than being in silence.
We can get into that more in just a minute. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Today we're talking about the challenges faced by young people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. I'm Sarah Gustavus, joined today by Amber Royster from Equality New Mexico, Aaron Northern, who you just heard from the Albuquerque chapter of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, and Robin, a junior at Rio Rancho High School. We want to hear from you, too. You can join us and tell us about your experience. Tell us what you see in the schools today, maybe what your children or grandchildren are experiencing. You can give us a call at 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, that's 800-899-5866. You can also email us your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. Aaron, why do words matter? I mean, sometimes you say, well, you know, kids are kids. Kids are bullies no matter what. Any kid that's a little bit different is going to experience this. Why do words matter specifically for young people who identify as LGBT?
Words matter. This is a great question. I do slam poetry and have a poem just about this, about how words matter and they truly have an impact. That we have to think about what our words are saying when we use them. Are we using them in a positive way that creates opportunity and creates freedom for people to self-identify? Or are we using words in a limiting way that tears people down or makes them afraid to be who they are in any way?
It's really important. Let's take a call now. We have Glenn from Hemis Springs. Glenn, what's your experience?
Well, I happen to be a father of a gay son who came out and left me a phone message about this 10 years ago when I was out of town, and somewhat surprised me, not completely, but for other parents out there, I think it's important to hear another parent like my son and, you know, maybe the process and whatever that one goes through. I called my wife after I heard that message and I said, well, what do I do now? I never went through class 101 on what a parent does when a child comes out. And she said, well, call him and ask him what he needs. So I did, and the immediate thing is a 16, 17-year-old, to me as a parent, was, well, Dad, do you still love me? And to me, that's the basic foundation for, you know, any parent, whether they have a LGBTQ son, daughter, or not. That's what we all need to reassure our children of. And so I would encourage any parents out there maybe listening who are going through this to remember that and to get counseling with their child, without their child, if they need to get some help with that. And then finally, I'm watching this series that I got from our library up here in Hemis Springs called Glee. And one of the actors in this wonderful series that deals with so many issues of high school students. One of the characters is gay, and he is fabulous. He helps a football macho type guy. He helps his father, who's an only one single parent, a mechanic, and just on and on. And they have his character just dealing with so many issues. And again, for parents maybe struggling with this, and even students, watch this. Sit down with a parent, watch it. So I guess those are my comments for today. Thank you so much for this program.
Thanks so much, Glenn. And we want to hear from other parents, too. You can give us a call and tell us your experience, your advice for other parents who might find themselves in the same situation of having a conversation with their child as they're coming out. Our number again, 277-5866. That's 877-899-5866. We'll be back in just a moment.
Edible Arrangements at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque offers fresh fruit bouquets and chocolate-dipped fruit for any occasion. EdibleArrangements.com or 505-888-0100. Edible Arrangements is a valued supporter of KUNM.
How can we shrink racial and income inequality in New Mexico? Even though median income in New Mexico is relatively modest, the income gap between our richest and poorest households is the worst in the nation. Why is that, and what policy should be changed to address it? Join New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas host Stephen Spitz and two leading experts to discuss all this and more this Friday morning at 8 on 89.9 KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Today we're talking about young people in the LGBT community. It is Pride Month, and we welcome your calls today, 277-5866. We just got a call from Glenn in Hemis Springs. He's a parent talking about his experience with his son. I thought it was so meaningful that he said, I loved him, and that was an important first step. Amber, what react a little bit. Tell us a little bit what you were thinking when we heard from Glenn.
Well, first, I definitely had a bit of an emotional reaction because I remember so clearly when I was coming out and I was a senior in high school, and that was my greatest fear coming out was, are my parents still going to love me? Are they going to kick me out of the house? I mean, today we see that 40% of homeless youth do identify as LGBT. So we know that LGBT youth are being kicked out of their homes when they come out. And those are really real fears. And so I think it's remarkable when parents can, kind of set aside, their own fears and that question of, oh, what did I do wrong, to say, this isn't about me. This is about my child. And the best thing that parents can really do is just to support their children on their journey, whatever that looks like. And so, I applaud, our caller, and I applaud any parent that's able to do that, including my own, who, I knew they still loved me.
Where can parents go if they're like, I don't even, Glenn said, I didn't know what to do next. So where can parents go if they say, I need some help, I need someone to give me some advice?
Well, I think obviously, in a world of technology, there's so many resources that are available, out online where you can, start to look at statistics and to educate yourself with language, because language really does matter. But I think in terms of the community, parents, friends of lesbians and gays, PFLAG is what they go by now, to be inclusive of the trans community. But that's a support group for parents and friends who are either have children or who are related to people who are coming out. And it's basically a support network and a support group to help people navigate, those really kind of challenging issues that come up with coming out.
Erin, what's your advice to other teachers? Maybe there's a teacher who says, I have a student right now and I want to start a conversation with them, but I don't want to do it the wrong way. What do you tell them?
I would tell them to do what feels best for them, to do what feels comfortable, and to not question too much. I think if you just present yourself as a advocate and a role model for LGBT youth, and that in the classroom, if you hear bullying, you stop it immediately, that you use open and inclusive language, then students will feel comfortable coming to you. And so it's a kind of a fine line of being open and supportive and then allowing students to come to you.
Yeah. I hear that word a lot, open and inclusive. What does that mean?
I think of it in terms particularly of, again, language and how powerful language is and the vibrating echoes of what we're creating when we use language. As for example, a really small example in the classroom, if you're teaching, are you using phrases like boys and girls constantly and kind of boxing in identities, or are you allowing for open identities and saying, well, good morning, students, how is everyone today, so that everyone can self-identify in the way that feels best, or especially when we're talking about families. So, for example, are you asking students to take home a form and talk with their mom and dad about something? Or are you asking students to take something home and talk to their family about it? So that family is a much more open and inclusive term, that it can look in any way and they're all affirmed and all validated and all respected.
We also welcome questions today. If you have a question, if you're thinking, I want to know what to do in this situation, or I want a little bit of advice, you can call in and give us those comments or questions to add to the discussion. 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. If you'd rather email us, you can email callinshow@kunm.org. What about you, Robin? Have you had a conversation with a teacher who's approached you and said, I want to talk to you about how I can support you?
Yes, well, I did have one teacher who came up to me and just asked, what do I prefer, like gender pronouns? And, you know, just like they were a bit confused, like they didn't know how to start the conversation, like, you know, whatever I'm like doing, like I'm trying to like show myself who I really am. Like he told me like he really didn't know what to do exactly, but he told me he was going to be totally supportive and like be on my side if anyone's gonna like disrespect me in class or behind my back, because that's how the conversation started. Was just like he heard something in class that he didn't really know that it was comfortable for me because of gender pronouns, so he just wanted to confirm it with me and then just make sure I'm comfortable in class. So I'm grateful for that.
And that is so hard for adults to admit that you may not know everything, especially when talking to a young person.
Absolutely. Even coming in to be on this show today, you know, I was saying how critical it is to, you know, have LGBT youth at the center of this conversation, especially because things, you know, have changed so quickly and so drastically. When I was coming out, there weren't a lot of my peers who were coming out as transgender. I mean, that just wasn't something that, you know, was really a visible part of our school culture. It didn't mean it wasn't there. It just wasn't visible. And so, whereas I think today, you know, youth are having these incredible conversations about identity, about getting outside of that binary of male, female, and it's just really exciting to see. And so I actually find that, even as a leader, you know, in the LGBT community, I learn more, from the youth today, they're teaching me.
Young people, if you're listening today, if you're a teen and you're tuned in because you heard about this show, we do want to hear from you. 277-5866. We value your perspective in this conversation. Again, the number 277-5866. I'd like to add another perspective to our show today. We have Jen Jevertson on the line. She's a trainer, facilitator, and consultant with Prevention at Play. She's a strong advocate for policies and programs that create safer school environments for all students, especially those that are marginalized. Jen, thanks for joining us.
Hi, great to be here.
Jen, you've been tuned into the first half of this show here. Anything you want to add from what you've heard so far?
I just really want to highlight all the different kind of steps that are the advice that's been thrown out there about intervening and not using what we call heteronormative language, because whenever we can have inclusive language like Aaron was talking about, it really benefits everyone. And so some of these tips, you know, they're not just when you know there's one LGBTQ student in your group or in your community, but really it affects everybody positively. And I think that's an important way to look at it, that we're not just trying to help one small group of folks. It really is to support everybody, include everybody. And I also wanted to add a little bit about the shift in language and the shift in attitudes, and that there is a lot of pervasive stigma and discrimination, these negative messages that our young people are hearing all the time and all day long. And the more that we can shift that to the positive and have inclusive language and mention LGBTQ people in a positive light, they start balancing out some of those negative messages.
Absolutely. Have you listened to our caller, our listeners today? Have you had that experience? Have you worked on language in your own school, in your own family, in your own community? Have you called someone out for that and said, this is why language matters? Give us a call right now, 277-5866, outside of Albuquerque, 877-899-5866. You can also post comments to the call-in show on the KUNM Facebook news Facebook page, or go to KUNM.org and look for the call-in show and post your notes there. Jen, Amber mentioned earlier some of the health concerns for young people, the things that can be happening when they aren't able to express their identity in a positive way, or they're having this experience in their community where they don't feel supported. What do you think is at stake right now? Why is this a key issue to be talking about?
Well, there's really a lot at stake. I mean, there's, not to be dramatic, but there's lives at stake when young folks don't have a safe place to turn, because some of our young folks don't. You know, it can really put them on a path of not having support to fight against the depression that they're feeling, fight against these negative messages that society is putting on them. It's why the homeless population, 20 to 40% of it, is LGBTQ. And it's why, you know, youth who have sexual orientation and gender identities outside the heteronormative state, you know, they feel less safe. They're harassed more. They have riskier behaviors. These things aren't because they identify as LGBTQ. These things are because of how societies and peers are responding to them. So the more that we can put these supportive organizations, supportive teachers, supportive programs into place, it increases those protective factors to help keep these young people safe.
Jim, what do you think about when people say, well, this is just, there's so many other more important things. You know, here in New Mexico, we've got poverty, we've got all these issues. Why do you think this should be kind of at the top of issues for this state leaders, schools to be talking about?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge and honor the intersectionality of how all these issues affect each other, because somebody doesn't just identify as a lesbian. They might identify as a Catholic, Latina, undocumented lesbian. So that there's, you know, we walk around with not just one identity, but these multiple identities. So when we're addressing poverty and we're addressing social justice and racism, you know, we also, whether we identify ourselves as LGBTQ or not, we need to be including that in the conversation. So it's not about prioritizing one issue over another, but really kind of trying to lift up everyone and not exclude someone because of their gender identity and sexual orientation. Because, you know, if you look at the suicide rate for LGBT people, it's higher because there's not a lot of supports out there. Well, there are a lot of supports. Let me correct that. That sometimes it's hard to access those resources, and that's why it's so important to share all the supports that are out there.
Absolutely. Erin, in the schools, this makes me think about, we're always talking about education, wanting students to do well on tests, wanting them to do well in school. If a young person is struggling with this, it seems like this would impact their academic performance.
Absolutely. So the 2013 GLSEN National School Climate Survey has a lot of great information showing that 85% of LGBTQ students are verbally harassed in the past year. And then this leads to large rates of absenteeism. So as Amber mentioned, about 30% of students missed a day of school just in the past month because they feel uncomfortable or unsafe at school. And this statistically leads to lower GPAs for students, lower self-esteem. LGBTQ students are less likely to have plans to go on for higher education and to go to college. So it's a huge issue.
I just echo all of that. And also what Jen was saying earlier, too, about looking at the intersections of our identity, because that's typically where we find some of the most intense and really kind of scary outcomes, especially when we're starting to talk about like the school to prison pipeline. You know, bullying is very much a part of that. And also just feeling unsafe at school is very much a part of that. And if you're not feeling, you know, safe at school, then, you know, maybe you're not attending. And we have, you know, zero tolerance disciplinary policies around not attending school. And next thing you know, a transgender youth has been suspended simply because they don't feel safe in their school environment. And what we know is that after one suspension, a student is more than twice as likely to drop out of school and not finish school at all. And I think that, you know, most of us in New Mexico, we're pretty aware of our educational attainment and, you know, the opportunity gap versus, you know, the attainment gap. And, you know, so it's really important to look at how can we keep our students in school. And part of that is about creating the safest environment possible.
Robin, I want to come back to you for a moment. What are some challenges that you face from being transgender? You know, there's issues I've heard about before about bathrooms, you know, that's what's that been like for you at school?
Yeah. Well, for bathrooms, when I finally like came openly transgender to school, like, you know, the nurses like they offered me, like, I could go to the nurse's bathroom because it's a unisex bathroom, but, you know, one unisex bathroom out of the whole school campus is not enough. Some schools can be separate buildings, so, like, it could be hard just going building to building, but, you know, like, some days I don't feel like going all the way down to the nurse's bathroom, so I do, like, I guess rebel and just use the girls' bathroom, but it's still difficult because there's going to be girls that looking at you funny, or there's going to be girls that, you know, really don't care, which is good most of the time, but most of the times that can't be always possible because it's just some days I don't feel confident and I do have to go use the boys' bathroom. And, you know, that is, I just try to avoid that because it's so hard because I always get that awkward look every time I go in. This boy just gives me this, like, what are you doing here? Or, like, that, you know, just that uncomfortable feeling that that's not always a good vibe, I guess. So it's difficult sometimes, but hopefully it's getting better for me in this coming year.
Amber or Dilt's talking about the needs of young trans people, issues like this, bathrooms.
Yes, and I'm actually, you know, glad that you brought that up because I think the issue of restroom access, of gender-neutral restrooms, is something that is so misunderstood in the conversation. And part of that is because it's a new part of our conversation right now. But it goes back to what Jen Jefferson was saying earlier. You know, when we work to create more access and more safety for our most marginalized and at-risk students, we're actually creating a more safe environment for all students. And so restrooms, I mean, and let's take locker rooms. That's a great example. You know, when I was in middle school, I didn't want to be changing in front of all of my friends. I wish we would have had stalls in there. And I didn't even identify as a lesbian at that time. I had no idea at that time. And so when, you know, there's always this fear around, oh, the boys are going to see, you know, girls changing. And it's like, actually, they just want some privacy, just like the rest of all the students want some privacy. They don't want to be naked in front of their peers. In terms of restrooms, another huge misconception is about assault, you know, and this fear that, oh, if a trans woman goes into a woman's restroom, then, you know, they're going to assault a female in there, you know, because they're supposedly really a man. And it's just it's such dangerous, you know, language to be using around that, because the fact is that it's trans women who are assaulted in restrooms. It's trans people who are assaulted in restrooms. It's the other way around. They're the ones who are afraid, you know, of using the restrooms. And in terms of students, you know, just to relate to Robin's experience, we have trans students that are that don't want to use the restroom because, you know, they're afraid of being assaulted, or they don't want the stigma of being pushed to another restroom in a different building, that they will not use the restroom all day at school, causing horrific health problems. So, you know, that's the reality around that. And I know we're working really hard to try to steer that conversation specifically around facilities and schools, you know, to be a lot more honest and realistic.
And right now, the Santa Fe City Council is considering a requirement that all businesses in Santa Fe, if they have a single occupancy restroom, that it is identified as gender neutral.
Yes. And we were really excited to see that. You know, Mayor Gonzalez has been a real ally to the LGBT community, and he's made a lot of strides up in Santa Fe. And I think that that's important because, I mean, if we're talking about a single stall restroom anyway, does it matter? I mean, and so restrooms are for going to the restroom. And, you know, especially with single stalls, there's no reason why those shouldn't be gender neutral or unisex. And again, going back to what Aaron has talked about extensively, you know, the need for, you know, more inclusive language. I mean, that even comes down to the types of signage that people are seeing when they're going to the restroom. And when they see something that is inclusive, there's a sense of safety that comes with that.
Amber mentioned the word allies. We do want to hear from allies today, people who are supporting those in the LGBT community, especially young people. What steps are you taking to make them feel welcome, to know that this someone is advocating for them and thinking about their needs? Give us a call at 277-5866 outside of Albuquerque, 877-899-5866. We'll be back in a moment.
This week in This American Life,
I am pleased to present here on the Brooklyn Academy of Music Opera House stage.
We have true stories like we always do. This time turned into a musical, turned into opera. Also,
this is crazy.
We will never speak of that mouse again.
Sashir Zameda, Mike Birbiglia, Stephen Merritt, this week.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on KUNM.
In a best-selling book, Alex Malarkey and his father described a visit to heaven and back. Now the boy has recanted his story.
He had admitted that he did not, in fact, visit heaven and that his entire book was fictional.
Heavenly visitations and other out-of-body experiences on the next Skeptic Check from Big Picture Science.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus, joined today by Amber Royster from Equality New Mexico, Aaron Northern from the Albuquerque chapter of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, known as GLSEN. We also have Robin, a junior at Rio Rancho High School, and Jen Jefferson from Prevention at Play. We're talking about youth in the LGBTQ community, what they need, what the issues are that they're facing, and how schools, communities, and parents can better support them. We have an email from Debbie. She says she's a proud mama of an 8.5-year-old trans kid. She says there are many blessings that come along with having a child who is transgender, like being challenged to walk your talk, learning, taking it easy. And she says this is a journey for the whole family. It will be hard and sometimes messy. Find a therapist for the family, acknowledge your fears, and do not deny the child the right to be who they are. Watch them blossom. Thanks for that email, Debbie. Let's go now to Alan in Albuquerque. Alan, you're a teacher. What have you done to support young people in your classroom?
Well, we used to, first of all, it was a real safe place. We put stars, pink stars on the door that let people know that there's a safe place for gay and lesbian people to come in. And I had guests that would stay come in every day for a week and would carry on a conversation in such a manner that if they had a question, they would write it down with no name on it, and we'd gather all the questions and mix them up so nobody knew who was asking what. And we got, I worked in the civil rights movement back in the 60s for over three years, and I equated the struggle with gay and lesbian people exactly the same, or maybe even more difficult than for black people. But certainly it was another part of the civil rights movement. And we had some really interesting, we neutralized, I feel like, in middle and high school, we neutralized a lot of the potential bad attitudes and fear-based questions by bringing the spokespeople in.
Alan, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a really interesting perspective and idea for other teachers to consider. We do have another teacher on the line, Hannah in Albuquerque. Tell us about your experience in the classroom.
Well, it's a experience that hasn't happened yet. We have an upcoming third grader who identifies himself as a little boy. And as the third grade team, we have discussed how to support him. And that's kind of my question is, you know, I've seen this little boy go from different names as he's identifying more as who he is. But this past year, I know that there was one student in his class that was giving him a hard time because they have been in school since before he identified as a little boy. And so I want to know what's a better way for me to support this student and help the other students support him.
Aaron.
I think the best thing you could do is listen, first of all, to the student and what their needs are and how they identify, and continue to have conversations with the family, with the students in your classroom and in the third grade. Reach out for more resources and training, maybe for the entire staff that can give you ideas on how to talk with your classroom. Also, for example, APS Safe Zone. You can email them and they can come out and do training for your school. GLSEN Albuquerque offers professional development or training for schools on how to support LGBT-identified students more in the classroom. But the most important thing is to listen to the needs of the student and to follow their lead and have open and honest conversations with all of the students on how to be supportive and why it's important.
Erin, what about those other students around them who might be giving them a hard time, or those students might have questions that they haven't had a chance to ask yet? How do you engage with those other students in the classroom?
I think allowing them opportunity to ask those questions and to encourage the questions. So if you're having the conversation, then they're learning, and then allowing them to ask the questions, because often it's an issue of not understanding. Mm-hmm. That's where the fear often comes from.
Hannah, do you feel like you got some good information there?
I do. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call today. I'd like to go down to Noreen in Albuquerque. You have a comment on what we were just talking about gender-neutral restrooms a few minutes ago. Noreen, what's your comment?
Yes, I'm an architect, and I just wanted to add the input that what a lot of folks don't realize, if you have a school, you have a company, you have an office, having a gender-neutral bathroom or a suite of them, can you hear me?
Yes.
Along a hallway or whatever, a central area, really saves, not only does it save on space and cost for the organization owner, which makes it possible to spend your money on things like school supplies, but also during times when a lot of people spill out of a room or a space or come in or out all at the same time, it's extremely useful for everyone to use as sort of a, you know, spillover or extra need restroom. And we encounter this a lot because, you know, there's occupancy calculations that you have to do for your business or your organization to figure out how many bathrooms you have to have. And people don't really want to spend money on bathrooms, so everyone does the minimum. And the way those counts go, if you've got a gender-neutral bathroom or more than one, it really helps with those calculations, just from a very practical point of view. So practically speaking, I just want to add that it makes sense. It makes good sense on a variety of levels.
That is interesting. I had not heard that before, Noreen. Thanks
yeah.
for giving us a call. We welcome your calls today, 277-5866. If you have questions for the folks with us today about what you can do to support a young person who identifies as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, give us a call right now, 277-5866. We have Jan on the line from Mountain Air. Jan, what do you want to add to the conversation?
Well, it would be really good if GLSEN or a group of people like that could educate the Association of School Boards. I don't know that that's what it's called, but there is an association of some sort that where of all the school boards in the state. And I'm saying this because of the rural areas. You know, I know things are not easy for LGBT people even in the cities, but in the rural areas, oh please. If the boards of education could be educated on these issues, that would be extremely helpful, and I'd like to piggyback that with the previous caller's information. I heard on the news just in the past few days about the number of schools in the state that are outdated and need to be torn down. Maybe if that whole process could be required to look at gender-neutral bathrooms in the process of building these new buildings. So that's two comments. From the top down, educating the boards of education, and as they look at building new schools, to take into consideration the possibility of building gender-neutral backgrounds or requiring them to do so.
I'd like to go first to Jen on this one. Jen, those students in rural areas, that is so important. What are you doing right now to reach out to folks?
Great question. Yeah, things are challenging in a rural area. In general, you have less access to resources such as mental health. And then when you layer on top of that more specific issues related to sexual orientation and gender identity, it can be even more challenging. One of the things that the New Mexico Safe Schools Initiative is working on, which several of us, all of us actually on the call are a part of, is working to, at the state level, increase the the strength of the bullying policies we have. The current policies are not very strong. And so to strengthen them, to enumerate them, to include gender identity, to have some better guidance in place for reporting, as Amber mentioned earlier, and so that the school districts include these protections for students, because at a minimum, the school has a responsibility to protect all these students. One of the great things lately is the increase when folks have access to the internet. There's many great resources on the internet, so that even if you're a rural teacher in Reserve, New Mexico, you can still access some of the resources that GLSEN National has. Or if you're, a parent in Clovis, you can still access the resources that PFLAG has. Or if you are trying to start a GSA club in Socorro, you can call up the Santa Fe Mountain Center's New Mexico Gay Straight Alliance Network and get support on how do you do that. So there are resources out there when one has access to, internet and getting on the web in that way.
I'd like to go back to the phone lines now. We have Tony in Albuquerque. Tony, you're a teacher. What have you done for your students?
Well, there's nothing in particular that I've done for students other than just be myself. And I'm an openly gay man in Albuquerque here. What's happening is now I had kids years ago in my class, and now they're adults. And a lot of times the first thing they say to me is, I'm sorry for being a jerk in your class. And then the second thing they say is, thanks for being who you were because it helped me to accept who I was. So you don't really have to understand anything about kids other than just be yourself, and they'll pick up on whatever signals you send.
Absolutely. Let's go now to Andy in Albuquerque. Andy, what would you like to add today?
Well, as a former educator, the mission of the schools is to educate kids, obviously, but really and truly our first responsibility is to make sure all students, all children are safe at school. The only time I drove recklessly to my son's school is when he was hit in the face with a rock, not because he got a bad grade on a test or anything like that. And piggybacking on one of the speaker's comments about making restrooms safer for LGBT kids makes it safer for all kids. If you make the emotional climate of the entire school safer for all kids by refusing to allow bullying or minimizing the bullying and victimization of kids because of their gender identification or similar issues, then you reduce the bullying, or you make it not safe or right for kids to bully kids because of their weight, or because of the kind of clothes they wear, or because they obviously didn't have breakfast that morning, and it makes a safer environment for all kids. So it has ancillary benefits, not just directly for those LGBT kids, but for the whole school climate. It makes all kids safer and therefore better able to learn. Mm. So it's what needs to happen.
Thanks for your call today, Andy. Amber, you are working with Jen on a bunch of groups that are working on this Safe Schools Initiative that looks at bullying. What do you think would change if we change that policy, what would the impact be in schools around the state?
Well, first, I think we would get our school districts actually in compliance with current state and federal laws. We did a tremendous amount of research last year. We did an analysis of every single bullying prevention policy that we could get our hands on in the state. And generally what we found is about 80% of the districts, they're missing some really key elements. Almost all of the districts are missing the enumerated class of trans or gender nonconforming protecting students in their bullying prevention policy. So at the very least, what we hope is that we create at least a, safer policy frame within which LGBT students can be protected. We're hopeful that, by changing some of the policy, particularly around different disciplinary practices and addressing bullying issues, we tend to resort to zero tolerance policies where we're pushing kids out of school through suspension or expulsion. What we're trying to do is to reframe that to really focus more on restorative practices. So looking at behavior rather than just pushing a student out of school, we want to keep kids in school. And so we're hopeful that, by taking a look at our state policy, putting these rules in place. Another key element of it is reporting. Believe it or not, there's actually no required reporting on bullying incidents in our state right now. So there's no data getting up to the public education department. In fact, we found that they're only accounting for about 3% of the total incidents that happen in our state. So, I mean, you build in the stronger policy structure, the guidelines, the reporting requirements that allow us to analyze, okay, where are we seeing, you know, kind of quote unquote hot spots of bullying and harassment and intimidation, then we can actually go and target, you know, our own education efforts, our public education efforts. We can identify where there might be a problematic district, you know, or even a school board where we need to work a little bit harder to try to get in there to do some education on bullying. So at the very least, that's what we're hopeful that some serious policy changes will do.
We're getting close to the end of the hour here. I do want to leave people with some additional resources to turn to. Jen, do you want to start us off on some places you'd like to send people if they need some help?
I would love to. So there's several specific call-in numbers for especially youth who are feeling suicidal or just struggling in their life. So one of them is the Trevor Project. They've got great online chat systems, but they also have a call-in number, and that's 866-488-7386. If you're not a youth, you can also call the National Suicide Helpline, which is 1-800-273-TALK. T-A-L-K. And if you identify as trans or you think you might, or you're gender nonconforming or gender expansive, there's a pretty new entity out there called the Trans Lifeline, and you can call them at 1-877-565-8860. That's Trevor Project, National Suicide Helpline, and the Trans Lifeline.
And we will put those on our website, KUNM.org, under the news tab. You can find the call-in show. Erin, any last words of advice you want to leave for specifically for teachers and educators?
My advice for teachers and educators specifically would be not to be afraid, to really join the effort of changing the culture of silence in schools. And as Tony, the caller that we heard a few minutes ago, said, just be yourself, be your wonderful, supportive self. And that will change little by little, day by day, the culture of our schools. One thing that we're really excited about this year as GLSEN Albuquerque is in our efforts to change this climate of silence around LGBT issues in the schools and to really get more teachers engaged as active allies and advocates is we have partnered with Albuquerque Public Schools for the first time ever and the Albuquerque Teachers Federation, so the teachers union, that will all three as APS and teachers union and GLSEN Albuquerque be walking together in the Albuquerque Pride Parade next Saturday, June 13th. So for the first time ever, our Albuquerque Public Schools is going to have a presence of a group of educators walking down Central in the Pride Parade and showing out and proudly that they are supportive of LGBT students and staff and families in the schools.
Robin, give us some final thoughts. What do you think would make a difference for young people, some changes you'd like to see in the schools or things that have worked for you already?
Well, I just think, like, you know, just, like, more support for, like, people, like, for youth. Like, you know, I'm glad, like, more teachers and parents are getting more understanding about, like, LGBT youth and just, like, you know, it can be difficult at times and it's different for everybody. Everybody has their own story. So, you know, you just want to get on the level and just, like, make sure they're comfortable and talk to them about it because, you know, it could be a big help.
It's that simple, but it's so important. Thank you so much for being here today. Thanks to my guests, Amber Royster, Executive Director of Equality New Mexico, Erin Northern, Co-Chair of GLSEN Albuquerque, Jen Jevertson from Prevention at Play, and Robin, a junior at Rio Rancho High School. If you missed part of today's show or want to make a comment, visit us online at KUNM.org and look for the call-in show under the news tab. Jefferson White engineered today's show. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. Elaine Baumgartner is executive producer. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Join us again next week.